Hi, hello everybody, and a hearty Omaha to you wherever you may be on this evening. Welcome in to another edition. That's right, it's Monday. You know what that means. Welcome into another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 54 overall, season 2, episode 20. This one titled 12 for 12. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, and I don't do it alone. Thank goodness, thank goodness, thank goodness. Let's bring him on in here, the show creator, the finest Canadian for the next hour or so, Adam Carabine. Come on in.
Only the finest Canadian for the next hour. Is that right? Really?
Yeah. I just
hurtful.
Well,
truth I'm hurt. Trying.
I mean, truth hurts.
I'm trying to do really well here as a Canadian. And so well, I would like to think that I could make it more than an hour, but
well, you know,
pushing.
I'm not saying you can't get there. I'm just, I live in the present moment. I try not to live too much in the past outside of my NASCAR fandom.
Okay.
But there's exceptions to every rule, of course. So how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here for another Monday Monster Mash, if you will.
How did you enjoy the Tricky Triangle this past weekend?
Enjoyed it quite well. We'll get into full details. Before we do that, let's bring on the trickiest member of the dais.
Oh yeah,
you never know what she's going to say or do.
She's prepping right now.
She is unpredictable. He's got the best brows in the business. Frankly, her health might be falling apart, but she keeps swinging at it. Let's bring her in, producer Peggy. Oh, boy.
I have to wear this hat because I found a tick in my hair.
Oh, good.
I guess you felt the need to get out of everybody. All right.
Is that normal? Like, so we don't have ticks around my area of the country. Is that a thing where if you get a tick, you need to wear a hat? Is that a normal?
No, that part was just a joke, but here he is.
Why did you keep it?
Well, I haven't flushed him yet.
Because she's worried about his little tick family.
Yeah, I feel bad killing him, but like, what else do I do with him?
I don't whack him and stack him, ladies and gentlemen.
Congratulations.
It's only normal if you go in the woods, which I did not go in the woods.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it happened. I've never found a tick on me before, so I did scream.
Fair enough. Well, I was going to say congratulations on your driver winning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the point of the hat. Yeah, that.
Anything else, folks?
Very nice, yeah.
No.
Okay. 12th win for Ryan Blaney. Clearly, she's a stat.
Yeah.
Damn near speechless. Anything else?
No.
All right. In that case, ladies and gentlemen, any first-time watchers, if you're out there, it's time for our weekend review. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Time for the weekend review. And Mr. Carabine,
yes.
You and I. We've already talked about it a little bit, but let's talk about it a whole lot more. Ryan Blaney won his second of the year. He held off a hard-charging Denny Hamstring, Daddy Dennis, according to 2311 co-owner. But Ryan Blaney, gets the win at Pocono. Of course, his second win at Pocono. His first win was at Pocono. Came for the Wood Brothers, which is their last win to date as an organization. So
is that their last one? I didn't realize that, but yes, that's
that's their last win to date. That was win number 99, and of course, the Wood Brothers are still looking for that ever elusive 100th win.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. He's now, you know, we could have called it 12 for 12. We did. We could have called it 2 for 5 because now Ryan Blaney is 2 for his last 5 races. Of course, he got in victory lane in Iowa, and apparently there's something to having the family in tow because he had some family in tow at Pocono as well. What were your thoughts? You know, you can give some overarching thoughts on the Tricky Triangle, but is Denny Hamlin, pardon me, is Ryan Blaney getting on that roll that we saw last year after the Coke 600? Suddenly, is he a championship contender again?
I don't know if you can count him out, that's for sure. I don't know if I would put him in, like, my final four just yet. But also, he just did it last year, and he knows what it takes now. He knows what, you know, he knows the formula, not that there really is one, but he knows how to do it, and it is about peaking at the right time. And he did say in his post-race interview there that he felt like his team is better now than it was at this point last year. Now, I mean, of course you're going to say that. I feel like every year the drivers come in with confidence, and they say, oh, this is the year I'm going to win the championship. We're going to do it. I'm going to win 36 races en route to my championship. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, do I buy that? I don't know. I think they were struggling a little bit to start the year. Maybe he's found a little momentum, and we've seen what momentum can do for people. I know that it's kind of one of those intangible things you can't really measure, but have a look at someone like Alex Bowman, right? Had a great run again at Pocono after a win in Chicago. And, you know, we haven't really seen that from the 48 team at all this year.
No, we haven't. And of course, Pocono, Alex Bowman was right there for much of the nitty gritty, if you will. I'm not ready to say that Ryan Blaney's going on a tear again, but you can't rule him out. Frankly, you can't rule out Penske, right? They won the last two mm-hmm. championships. So as an organization, no one in recent history knows more about what it takes to get it done in this format than the captain's crew. But it is a little too early, I think, to presume them to be favorites because they're just now finding that momentum. And momentum is a fickle mistress, Adam. You know that as well as I do. You know, it's a old riding high in April, shot down in May, right?
Yeah.
And so you just never know when it comes around. It's kind of fleeting. Go ahead.
I was going to say, sorry. The other thing too is that, like Blaney's two wins are at Iowa and Pocono, which I don't see a lot of comparable tracks in the playoffs like that. So, I mean, Pocono is unique in its own way. There isn't really any other track like it. Iowa, yeah, it's a shorter track, but it's kind of, especially with the way they half paved it, like it's kind of its own beast too. So I don't see like, okay, for example, I'm going to compare it to Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell has been great on short tracks this year. He won at Phoenix. I feel like if he can get to Phoenix, he's a real threat because he's won at tracks that are similar to Phoenix, right? And so that is like a good harbinger of things to come for Christopher Bell, if you will. But for Ryan Blaney, yeah, the wins are great. You take them any day you can, but is there sort of transferable knowledge that he's gaining here in these wins? Maybe not as much.
Very interesting. It is. I get what you're saying because you're right. Phoenix is such a, especially right now with such a, I don't want to put this, a controversial short track package. Phoenix is a very specialized track. And so I think you're right until he shows some real, you know, we got Richmond coming up here after the Olympic break. That's a track that I'm curious to see who looks strong, especially our second date right at Richmond this year. I'm yep. very curious to see, and that's that a shorter track. I'm very curious to see how that goes. But of course we got the concrete of Bristol coming up in the late summer, early fall. Very curious there. It's going to be interesting.
Richmond's interesting. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
You're fine.
Get used to it. Richmond is interesting because it's, I think, our first time that we're revisiting a track like it'll be interesting to see how people have what they've learned from the first Richmond and how that's translated to second Richmond. Do I think Richmond deserves a second date? Not necessarily, but it is interesting just to, as a benchmark, the previous Richmond, you can, it's a straight up comparison. You can look at both of them and say, here's how people are improving on a short track.
Yeah, we don't have to play a lot of mix and match and kind of stretch like we do, let's be honest, the Chicago street course. We kind of call it a road course. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But that's a we have to kind of, I don't know how the data translates. For once, at Richmond, at Richmond 2, we will have a flat, strict, definitely does translate data race. And I'm very curious to see where everybody up and down the entry list compares to Richmond 1. I'm very, very curious about that, but especially for what we perceive to be the championship contenders. I say perceive because in this system, until the playoffs start, you never do know. And that's one of the beautiful things right now about the sport, in my opinion. I know some old schoolers get a little, you know, my point system. But I like it. All right. So we mentioned that Ryan Blaney, he held off a hard charging Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin is frankly, he is Pocono power. I mean, he is the maestro of Pocono lately, right? It was Jeff Gordon for a lot of years. But Denny Hamlin is at a different level when it comes to Pocono. I got to tell you, Adam, I thought for sure coming into the weekend, because you and I and a group of buddies at least talk some off and on about it, I thought Toyota was the favorite for the weekend. Matter of fact, when Corey Heim won the truck race, I said, we'll see if Toyota sweeps the weekend. And I said that to you and a couple other guys. Because Toyota seems to be have Pocono as a playground, but not this weekend in the Cup Series and, frankly, in the Xfinity Series either. We'll get there. Were you surprised that Denny Hamlin didn't pull it off, or another Toyota? Were you surprised at the Penske Pocono power, if you will?
I suppose in some ways I was, but in other ways, no, which I know is not really an answer. But I guess, you know, the reason Ryan Blaney got to the front was because of strategy, not necessarily because of the quickness of his car. He certainly had a fast car. I don't want to take that away from him, but I do think Denny was faster. I think Denny had the fastest car of the day. But again, comes down to this, you know, this style of racing right now, it's really hard to pass, right?
It was Luke Holmes and Tracy Chapman. It really was. It was
Yeah, they're both fast cars. That's good. Wow. That's nice.
It's a good reference, isn't it? That's nice. It's a big leap. Put it in there, pal.
Yep, very good. Now I'm so just put off by that now, I can't even find my train of thought. But no, I think Hamlin had the faster car. And so if Hamlin had won, I don't think anyone would have been surprised. Blaney managed to hold him off, and it was, you know, congrats to him, and he deserves the win, absolutely. But I don't know if the fastest car won. And I think even like Ty Gibbs looked really strong at first until his engine blew up. Like the Toyotas still looked really strong, but it's not all about being the fastest car every time. It is about strategy as well, right? So props to the 12 team for the strategy call that led to the win.
You mentioned the Ty Gibbs blowing up. You know what? We're seeing that a little bit more and more about out of the Toyota camp is engine issues, and that's kind of odd. I know that, you know, a grand majority seems to make light of my particular favorite team out of the Toyota camp, but they haven't had any engine issues yet, which is odd. But everybody else, especially at Gibbs, the Toyota power, I mean, we saw that Yoo-hoo colored looking mixture coming out of Ty Gibbs. I mean, literally, his car went, I showed up. You know, it looked like the toddler just standing there going, I got bad news. I phoned up. And so are you concerned yet by the engine issues at JGR? Because I'm getting a little, what's going on there that they keep? Because one engine, I cannot remember if it was still this way when you just got into the sport with that infamous Coke 600. But it used to be something you see every week or two, but now not so much.
Yeah, so it's rare.
I'm a little concerned. Well, what's your take?
It is rare, and it is strange. Like, it doesn't always seem like they've just been, you know, driving it poorly or something. Like Denny Hamlin blew up on lap two in Sonoma, like seemingly out of nowhere. Like there was no warning signs at all.
Yeah.
You know, there's sometimes you can like miss a shift or something and like you can blow things up that way. And so I don't know if we know for sure what happened to Ty Gibbs in that situation, but at least he showed he had a fast car, and like maybe that was just too much to handle for like the length of the race. But yeah, something like Denny Hamlin blowing up on lap two, that's not a good sign. Like hopefully that is just like a parts malfunction or something and just unlucky, rather than signs of a, you know, a deeper issue there where they're pushing the limits on something just to gain a little more speed, and it's, you know, it's risky. I don't know what it is, but it is. I mean, I wouldn't say I like it. I guess I hate it for the drivers and the teams, but I also think I enjoy the intrigue that it brings, because no lead is safe. You know, you never know. It could have been Ryan Blaney with 10 to go blowing up on his own. You never know who it's going to happen to. And that kind of adds an extra layer of excitement to the race. So from a fan perspective, I'm okay with it, but I would imagine that the teams themselves are like, we got to figure this out. So,
in the words of the late great Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over, and that's true.
True.
All right, before we move on to Pocono, there's one thing we got to talk about. You mentioned unlucky. Well, I know unlucky this season, and his name is the rowdy one, Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Who threw a block, apparently. For, you know, we've had a chance to review the footage a little bit. Threw a block, apparently. And then Corey LaJoie just hooked him. And I got to tell you, I have never been, nor will I likely ever be, a Kyle Busch fan.
Yeah.
But we certainly gave Chase Elliott a lot of guff for hooking Denny Hamlin, and rightfully so. That was a Busch League move on Corey LaJoie's part in the midst of a very down season for him after a lot of years of rising momentum. He has looked at times amateurish compared to everybody else, as far as the amount of wrecking he's either involved in or spinning he does or whatever have you. And I'm not trying to disrespect Kyle Busch or Corey LaJoie. I'm just calling it like I see it. Obviously, they're both more talented than I'll ever think about being as far as a race car goes. But I got to tell you, I think Corey LaJoie should be heavily fined, dock some points, maybe even suspended a race, because I'm not saying it wasn't the nicest block in the world. But the high speeds of Pocono, which is what it's known for, right? The very unique straightaways and all that, and the banking. We see cars almost every year. We did at Gilliland, but we see cars almost every year destroyed because brake failures and they hit hard.
Yeah.
I thought this was Busch League. What was your take?
I think your dog agrees with you there. I think it's a terrible move on Corey LaJoie's part. I have seen a clip from his Stacking Pennies podcast for this week, and he goes into how it looks like Kyle Busch might have hit the rev limiter, which lost him some momentum, and therefore that's why it happened the way it did. To me, it just feels a little bit like, I don't know, just own up to it. You made a mistake. I don't know. And you cost not just Kyle Busch his day, you cost like three or four other cars their day as well. And then what really bothers me the most out of it is on the radio afterwards, the team saying, hey, he got what he deserved, we don't care, basically. Like, I feel like not only is that a crappy move on Corey LaJoie's part, but then to like double down and just be like, yep, that's his own fault. Like, it clearly wasn't Kyle Busch's fault. I think anyone can see that. And so I think I don't normally take strong stances, but I'm going to say it's like a little bit cowardly on Corey LaJoie's part. I'm not impressed.
Yeah. You know, Corey LaJoie, this is pretty strong terms, and I can't think of a better term. So for lack of a better term, because I know this is way strong, Croy the Joy this year feels like a fraud. We felt like all he was waiting on was the right opportunity, the right chance. And then he got one for Napa and Hendrick Motorsports last year, and he didn't come through. And we chalked that up to probably trying to do too much, probably nervous, greatest opportunity of his career. You could make an argument that, yeah, I'd be nervous too and try to do too much. Fine. This year, he has completely been outshined by who is technically a rookie in Carson Hocevar. Yes, he had a lot of starts in the 42, but still. I agree with you, and this is no disrespect to Corey the Joy, but yeah, not impressed. You just seem to be involved in something every single week, and it's not. And I know that you're probably not getting the best parts, and you're probably not getting the best setup, and all this sort of things. I can't believe, and I say this with respect again, that Rodney Childers is going to stake his reputation on what appears to be, unless a change takes place in the offseason, on whom appears to be Corey the Joy, who has taken a major step back this year. He is not who we thought he was. I'm not saying he's like bad or awful or a disgrace, but like we believed, I did at least, if he ever got a good opportunity, he could do it. It was kind of similar to Matty D. We thought he outruns the equipment. If he ever gets a good opportunity, he can do it. And then he has the Chase Elliott opportunity, and fine. You put too much pressure on yourself. That happens. We're all human. Get it. But this year, when Spire is on the upswing, they're putting money. I don't know who they're getting the money from. Someday we'll figure that story out. But they're putting money in that bad boy. And Carson Hocevar is having a pretty respectable season when you consider where they're at as an organization. And Corey the Joy is just not. And I don't mean that he's getting lapped or anything. I'm talking about wrecks. I'm talking about tearing up equipment. There's one thing to be in bad equipment and be 10 laps down. That's something you can't do a whole lot about, but you can keep that equipment clean. You can keep that, you know, say what you want. People got a lot to say about Cody Ware, but you know what? He wasn't involved in a wreck yesterday.
Yep.
I'm sorry. It just, I'm really wondering if we were all a little wrong on Corey the Joy. And frankly, in the old days, my friend, in the old days, Corey LaJoy would be wearing a shiner today.
Yeah.
He'd be wearing a shiner. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's the way to handle it. I'm just saying it shows how NASCAR's changed. Frankly, it shows how Kyle Busch has changed because he looks like he was going to have a hemorrhage in the post-race interview there.
That interview was hilarious.
Because you could tell he was straining himself to just thank the partners and get out.
It was very interesting. Yeah.
Because 2 or 3 years ago, he'd have broke his whole thigh off.
It almost said more than if he'd been like just on fire, angry, you know, it was like, does there need to be a conversation there? Nah. It was just like, I don't know. There was a lot more going on there. But honestly, I'm looking at the point standings here. So Corey LaJoy is 30th place in the point standings right now. Carson Hocevar comes in to Spire. He's technically a rookie. Yes, he had a decent little run at the end of last season, but he's in the running for rookie of the year, and he is 57 points ahead of Corey LaJoy. Like, I don't know. Like, Corey LaJoy is the veteran on that team. Zane Smith has underwhelmed, and he's below Corey LaJoy. So LaJoy is second on the team, but it's, I don't know. Is that embarrassing when a Carson Hocevar comes in and is like, hey, you know, you're learning the car still, like you're learning how to drive this new car and you're 50 some odd points ahead of me. Like, and I've been here for 7 years or whatever it is now. Like,
and let us not forget, it's kind of unwritten that the best or the senior driver, what is perceived as the best driver, probably going to get the best equipment. He's got the best sponsor. He's going to get the best equipment. It's the way it is. It doesn't matter what the team is. There is a, in my opinion, most weeks, there is a notable equipment difference between Eric Jones and John Hunter Nemechek. Why is that? Well, he's in the 43 and he's the seniority driver. So I just personally believe consider that.
Yeah.
Corey the Joy is very likely getting better equipment than Carson Hocevar. Very likely.
Maybe not anymore. Maybe halfway through the season they've said, you know what, we're gonna, but it at least started that way. I don't. There was something. You go ahead and read this.
Ronnie Childers moving to LaJoy's team next year is going to be make or break for his career. Agreed. If Ronnie Childers can't polish that, it can't be done.
Yeah. There was something.
Any other takes?
There was something about the announcement of Rodney Childers. I'm trying to find it, but there was something interesting in the announcement where they said Rodney Childers is coming to Crew Chief the Seven next year with Corey LaJoy. They specified that next year was with Corey LaJoy, but they also said that Rodney Childers was going to be the crew chief there for years to come, but they didn't mention LaJoy in the statement of years to come. This is something Bob Pockrass broke down on Twitter, and I was looking for it. I can't find it quickly enough, but maybe that's just, maybe LaJoy has 1 year left on his deal and they're looking forward to, like, we'll move, you know, move someone else into that seven in 2026. I don't know, but yeah,
I agree entirely.
It's going to be a put up or shut up year for LaJoy next year. Absolutely.
I agree entirely with Matt. He says, no question, Hosvar has been much better results-wise, but I think we've seen LaJoy. He's been more aggressive, trying to make himself stand out more, in my opinion. Oh, he's standing out all right, Matt. He's standing out.
I will say, you know what? We're dogging on Corey LaJoy, and I will say this. Despite the number of incidents he's been involved in, he's only got one DNF this season. So somehow he's bringing it home. Maybe that's more a credit to the crew guys who are good with duct tape. Hey, but
a little better bond on that piece.
Yeah. Matt saying, didn't LaJoy just recently sign an extension? Possibly. Let me, you know.
I thought that was about a year ago, but usually it's a multi-year.
Let's see. Let's see what our pals at Jayski have to say. Says that he signed a multi-year deal in 2023. So that could be until the end of next year.
Yeah, I mean,
they never say usually how many years it is. They just, yeah. Anyhow, that's,
I hate the secrecy in NASCAR contracts. I hate it. I do. Like every other major sport, we can get. Other than the clauses in the fine print, we get every information you
can. I don't know. Even in hockey, we even get those. Yeah. There's like no movement clauses and things. Like we get to find out all those good details.
I don't understand why we're being so secretive on. Because frankly, it helps fans prep for the silly season of their favorite driver or team, whatever. Yeah. Have you. Like we all kind of know. You know, like we didn't know this year that Eric Jones is not signed for next year. Right? You know, we didn't know that until a couple weeks ago, until Bob wrote that news. So why does Bob get all this news? And
I swear we should steal Bob Pockrass's phone. I bet the numbers in there and the texts. He's probably sitting on so much info.
We would have every question answered regarding who owns what, who does this.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes down to the courthouse when there's a courthouse case needed. It's Bob Pockrass is the goat.
he's a hardworking man, to be honest. He deserves all the praise that he gets. Nonstop. Absolutely. So
I just, I personally think that Matt is absolutely right. Next year is it for Corey LaJoy. It is either perform or look for someplace else.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Corey LaJoy. Very interested. You know, and before this year, he was easy to root for. He's a nice underdog story. Seems like a good guy, but he just, it's been a tough year. All right. So we had Pocono. I got to ask you this question. Is Pocono fun again?
Yeah, I think it actually might be. I don't know. So if you check out the website tomorrow, racingrefresh.com, you'll see my weekly column, The Freshies, which is a take on basically just my opinion column here. But I kind of talk about it in there. And I don't know, Pocono, for me, I'm not a super, you know, fair weather fan. I haven't been around for a super long time. But Pocono has always in my head just been like something that's, you know, nap time. I don't know. I've never thought Pocono was super exciting. And it has gotten better with the next gen car. I really do think so. And this weekend, I really enjoyed it. So I don't know if, do you agree? Do you feel like, I see Matt Myers says Pocono's been fun since 2012. I maybe disagree. I came in 2019. I felt like it was a bit of a snoozer for a time there.
I have to agree with you, Adam, and not no disrespect, Matt, but I think that Pocono was until this year one of the, and frankly for the start of this race it was, it's yep. one of those races that you'd better be a diehard of the sport to watch, because it turns into and it's fun for us diehards and us gearheads that like different strategies and what could, what might, what maybe could happen. The different fuel strategies, I've always liked that. But let's be honest, if you're not into fuel strategy and kind of enjoying the chess of the game, so to speak, it's not the most exciting watch. And yeah. again, stage one proved to be that for the most part, as did stage two. It wasn't until the final stage where all of a sudden it was like a chaos grenade got dropped. I've never hated it, but I can totally understand that if you're not into the nuts and bolts of our sport, why you're not the biggest Pocono fan. Ryan Hill, who comments a lot and has been on the show as a guest, has never been a Pocono fan. He texts me midway yeah. through stage one or two, I can't recall, and he goes, snoozer. I'm like, yeah, I don't agree.
I don't know. I thought
I like all the strategy.
maybe I'm getting more used to that too. Like, I don't know, my first few seasons, I was still like figuring out who was even who, you know, like I didn't know what was going on and figuring that out. Maybe I've grown more as a fan and I'm more accustomed to like paying attention to the strategy stuff. So maybe that's played a role for me, but I don't know. I feel like it was an exciting race this past week, yesterday. Yeah. So I don't know.
I enjoyed it.
I think it's fun. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Matt says, ever since they shortened it from 500 to 400 miles, racing urgency for track position has been better. Yeah, I agree. I wish it'd go back to 500 miles. I hate that we don't have more 500-mile races now. I like the endurance aspect of the sport, and I hate that we're getting away with that because we have the attention span of squirrels. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's why baseball's speeding up the game. That's why football wants offense. I don't know what hockey's doing to affect their sport, but they're doing something because every sport is.
No, they're just keeping it real. Hockey is always the best. Just watch hockey. Everyone, if you want some real excitement, watch hockey, even though hockey is off until October now. But
Panthers won that cup. It's DU and done, bud. Freddie says he's late to the party. What's up? Hey, buddy. How you doing, Freddie? Good to see you. No, this was one of those ones that, like Atlanta, used to be 500 miles, and unfortunately the 500-mile racetracks we're down to it. Daytona and Coke 600, that's about it. Matt, you're right. I like 500-mile races. You want to know why? Because I am a diehard. I ain't got nothing else to do on Sunday. And even if I did, I'd make room.
Yep.
It truly is, and maybe it's my love and nostalgia that we all know I have, but truly I like the endurance part of racing, and I hate that has gone by the way of the dodo because – again, it's all about attention spans for younger fans. And I get that, but also it's like, oh, my God, pay a little attention.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the Xfinity race. Cole Custard finally got that first elusive win. He retains the points lead. So it's never been a bad season for Cole Custard.
No.
But Cole Custard, when he was back down in the Xfinity Series, the first go-around was a dominator. And he hasn't been that this year.
Yeah.
So, does this put him in line for make him a championship contender in your estimation? I think he already was.
I would say he already was. Yeah, I think just his point totals are impressive. Without the wins, and yes, you do have to win to. I mean, technically you don't, but I think it's important to winning the championship. You could go without winning, but I don't
know. Ryan Newman almost did.
Yeah. It's true.
Look it up. He almost did.
So did was it now I'm Daniel Hamrick? Am I getting that right? No.
Daniel Hamrick won the last race. So he did
do
the whole year until until Phoenix. He hadn't won until Phoenix, and then he did win Phoenix.
It was close, though.
And he got it done.
See, my memory for these old seasons, I say old seasons, wasn't that literally just last year? I don't know, 2 years ago? I can't remember.
Well,
once it's gone, it's gone.
You gotta have a brain blast like producer Peggy.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about the future, Logan. That's where my head's pointed. So
I hear you.
There you go. Anyways, Cole Custer. Yeah, I think he is a championship favorite or at least contender. I'm looking at the list of everyone else. Austin Hill had a strong start, but he's kind of faded a little bit. Chandler Smith looks strong. Do you chalk up the lack of wins for Cole Custer to like Stuart Haas and just the chaos around that team this year?
I to go Bill Shakespeare here, I think it's much ado about nothing. I really do. My confidence in Cole Custer down the Xfinity Series has never been shaken. He's been the championship favorite for me since day one. He still is.
Wow.
He still is. Because he knows what it takes. He's been there. You can't in the Xfinity Series, you can't put him in a situation that he hasn't been in. Frankly, we forget he's a Cup Series winner. He won Kentucky 2020.
Yep.
And so there's not much he hasn't done. We know he's a ton of driver. Rick Allen tried to build some drama as far as what are you going to do for next year. He's going to drive for Haas factory team. We all know it.
It's going to be called Custer factory team at this point. Like,
give it two seasons, that'd be the rebrand.
Yeah.
I'm high on Custer. I don't know if he's ever an all-time great in the Cup Series, but put him in Xfinity Series equipment, I think he gets it done. Period.
Yeah.
It's just my estimation. Speaking of getting done, Corey Heim gets his fifth win of the season in a pesky truck race. There was rain late. We can't have a NASCAR weekend without rain. I mean, someone's got to tend to that watermelon garden that Justin's got going on down there, and God said, I'll help. So Corey Heim does what Corey Heim does. He is the truck favorite. Frankly, if he doesn't right now, moment ago, but right now, if he doesn't win the truck series championship, something's wrong. You know, maybe he loses momentum. We'll see, but I don't think he will. It is Heim time.
is Corey Heim like, is he making enough of a name for himself down in the truck series that he's going to just skip Xfinity and be in Cup next year?
I don't think he'll be in Cup next year. The only thing that changes that is whatever Eric Jones decides as far as Legacy Motor Club goes. Given that Legacy Motor Club is who they are, and you know that's still the remnants of a petty team, right? Well, petty teams have always been kind of cheap. That's just the truth of it. I'm just calling it like I see it. And so he's a cheap, easy, convenient option should Eric Jones decide this doesn't work for me. I don't see another path for him unless 2311 is going to put him in a third charter.
There are rumors that 2311 is looking at a third one.
So
may even have one already.
So
Matt agrees with me, so I'll take it. That's good.
But I don't. I think unless Eric Jones doesn't re-sign in the 43, I think Corey Heim does a full-time Xfinity schedule, part-time Cup schedule next year. That is my guess.
I think that would be a reasonable thing for him to do. I think it's, you know, the jump from truck to Cup is going to be pretty significant, although he has already run a couple Cup races. But to go from, I mean, how long is the truck schedule? It's like
23 races.
Yeah, right. To go from that to 36, you just have no off weekends at all. You know, and you're in a car with like much better competition just throughout the field than the truck series has. It's a tough jump, I think, but I also could see someone looking at five wins in the truck series so far, possibly more before this season's through, and saying, yep, we'll give him a shot. Why not?
I do. I think if Eric Jones goes elsewhere, and I don't expect that, but he currently doesn't have a deal for 2025. So if for some reason Eric Jones does not come back to Legacy next year, I think he's the easy, let's put him in there and see what he can do. He's a young, available option. Upcoming star just makes sense to me. So we'll see what happens. I think his full-time cup status is dependent on Erik Jones. But my guess is Erik Jones is back in the 43, and Corey Heim runs Xfinity part-time or full-time and a cup part-time schedule. Pardon me.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk a little. What do you say? We're talking a little silly season. Let's talk about the scuttlebutt of the sport, shall we? And to do that, we got to talk some happy hour headlines.
It's beautiful.
Matt says he thinks overall we're in an era that the Truck Series success translates better in the Cup than Xfinity. In recent years, I think that plays true. However, one guy that might be an exception to that, it's always tough to say that when, there's plenty of people that you try to go up there and they don't get it done. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I think could be.
Yeah.
We need more anecdotal evidence, right, to really see that.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, I think it also depends on what kind of equipment you get into in Cup, right? That can make a big difference. Freddie just saying Corey will probably get a Joe Gibbs Xfinity ride next year.
I think that is a solid take.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, maybe he takes that full-time ride that Eric Amarola and everybody is splitting. Ryan says, what's up, guys? Team Penske is on a roll. They are on a roll, and I think you're going to want to stay tuned for my race refresh pick, Ryan.
Interesting.
You're going to want to.
Okay.
Happy hour headline time. Silly season updates. Josh Berry is going to drive for the icon at Wood Brothers / Penske. Gregson's going to Front Row Motorsports.
At this point, it feels like old news, but we just haven't had a chance to talk about it on the show. I don't foresee Harrison Burton getting that 100th win for the 21 team. So
I don't either. I mean, I guess at Daytona and Talladega, it is always possible. Always possible there. Frankly, Atlanta now. So those three tracks, it's possible. Anywhere else, I wouldn't bet on it, but you never say never. This sport is weird. Very, very strange. All right.
But do you think Josh Berry can get it done?
Not without Rodney Childers. I think that it is a bad, bad call by the Wood Brothers to not lay down whatever amount of money it took to get Rodney Childers, because something's clicking with those two. That's up true. Front every race now for a little while. Sometimes it doesn't pan out like yesterday. But we are seeing him more consistently starting in the top five, starting in the top 10, and being a real contender to maybe win a race. And so,
and the other thing is,
Barry, but I think that's mostly Rodney.
The other thing is, like, they now know each other. They have a good working relationship, right? Like, that takes time to foster. You get to learn each other's communication styles. You get to learn, the priorities that each of you have, and figure that out as the season goes on. And so I think we've seen Josh Berry get better in that four car over this season, partially probably just some extra experience under his belt. But I really do feel like the relationship between driver and crew chief is so important. And so to see that they're working well together right now and to not put them together next year, Rodney Childers must have been asking some kind of money.
Yeah, it must have been astronomical. Ryan says Josh Berry deserves more respect. I'm not pooing on him. I'm giving a lot of credit to Rodney Childers, because look, it's not like Josh Berry lit the world on fire in the 42 in limited starts. And when I say lit the world on fire, it's not like he was a significant improvement over Noah Gregson. It's not like he was a perennial ass kicker in the Xfinity series. Tony Stewart took a chance on him because he likes that type of driver, the scrappy, the underdog, doesn't bring a whole lot of money and shit. Well, guess what happens? They don't bring a lot of money. You end up for sale. but that's all right. So I'm not trying to downgrade Josh Berry at all. I think he's a likable guy. Easy to root for.
Yep.
Want to see his success in the future. I certainly do. Said Rodney couldn't get Harvick to victory lane last year. I feel like Berry is running better in the four this year. You know, we'd have to really, you know, I think that's some recency bias to be, you know, to be quite frank with you, Ryan. I really do. Look, I can
tell you,
I think it's some recency bias. Look, we got to remember that Stuart Haas ain't exactly been, you know, it hasn't been all unicorn and sunshine the last couple seasons. That's why they're going the way of the dodo bird, right? So
Josh Berry's average finish this year so far is just about 7 positions worse than Kevin Harvick last year. So
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stat Chat. Ryan, how's that taste? Better? Hard to get down?
No offense to you, Ryan. I just,
again, I get it. Cause right lately, Josh Berry is picking him up and putting him down. Right. I mean, he's been in some contention every week, you know, even if Pitt's strategy goes his way yesterday, he's in contention again. So I get it. In the last month or 6 weeks, he's found something.
Yeah.
But still, and again, how much of those issues are on Kevin Harvick? Because it would be – I wish I could have been the fly on the wall the last 2 years of that organization, because I could feel it was controlled chaos, baby. Just my guess. We'll see. All right. Gregson's going to front row. Good for Noah to land on his feet. And by the way, if you don't think your purchases at the track or online make a difference, Noah Gregson is living proof they do.
Yep.
Why? Because the brass that be at front row said the biggest thing, one of the biggest things that stuck out to him is his fan engagement and his merchandise sells to the point that the first few weeks they thought they were typos.
Yeah.
If you don't think your purchase and supporting your driver or your team or this sport doesn't make a difference, Noah Gregson is literal proof it does. Because for some reason, and he is a likable guy, but he's a goofball, Noah Gregson connects with people. And that translates. And that's why he keeps getting, I'm not going to say great opportunities, but good opportunities.
Yep.
Because keep in mind, front row is now tier one Ford support. So they're on the upswing. Take a guess for me. Take a gander. Who's gonna make that last front row spot?
I don't know. It's tough. It's, you know, you try and think of like who's in the Ford pipeline, although that doesn't necessarily mean it'll be that. I know they mentioned that it would be a younger driver. I think they said that like Todd Gilliland's gonna be the senior the senior there, which is kind of weird, but you know, good for him. I don't know. Yeah, do you have someone in mind? I'm drawing a blank here.
I really feel like it's gonna be Riley Herbst for some reason. I feel like it's gonna be him. They kind of alluded to it's another young driver. I mean, I guess if maybe they get word that Derek Jones is saying bye bye to Legacy, they might give him a call.
Right.
Because that would be a nice, you know, it's always nice to pick up a cup winner. I don't care if it's 1, 3, 4, whatever. It's always nice to pick up a cup winner. It's hard to do.
He's from Vegas as well too, isn't he?
Jones is from Michigan.
Sorry. I'm stuck on Riley Herbst. Herbst and Gregson would both be from Vegas.
Yeah, a couple of Western guys.
Yeah.
Couple of out there in the dry heat.
And Herbst brings some sponsorships, so that helps.
He's got that monster support. Riley Herbst is probably my quote unquote pick. Don't have any inside info on that. Could be someone entirely different. That would be
I think that's a good bet. Yeah.
All right. Bubba apologized for his reaction in Chicago. He did get a $50K fine. I thought it was appropriate. The fine was fine, and his apology was good.
Yep.
You know, I don't have a lot to say there. And NASCAR looking for a fifth partner to join Busch, Coca-Cola, Geico, and Xfinity. I hope this happens. You saw the report. Break it down for us a little bit.
Yeah. I guess, you know, back before the current era, which is just called the NASCAR Cup Series, it used to be the Monster Energy Cup Series, and they had just the singular kind of title sponsor for the entire series. I guess that was, you know, growing to be too expensive for one company to commit to for an entire year, so they moved it to four partners with Busch, Coca-Cola, Geico, and Xfinity. Which is funny. Xfinity also sponsors the entire Xfinity series, which is, you know, so they're happy.
They're here to help. Yeah, they're here to help.
That's great.
But that's what keeps this sport going.
NASCAR announced that they're looking for a fifth partner. They want to kind of, I don't know if that means that they want a fifth partner to pay just as much as those other four are, or if they're going to lower the amounts and spread it among five, like same amount, but spread between five teams, I guess, or team, I don't, teams is the wrong word, but between five companies or sponsors, whatever that is, I think it's good. I think anytime you can, well, I mean, it's good they're looking. Hope it'll be better if they can find one. I mean, hopefully, like, that'll be embarrassing if no one ponies up here, but I think, I don't know. I think it's anytime that they're just like, we want to bring more money into the sport, then great, let's do it.
Yeah, they have some loyal people that I think will always stick by them. I think Xfinity is proving to be one. We know Coca-Cola already is one. Geico's been in the sport a long time. Frankly, depending on how they're doing financially, maybe you could look at Monster's one, because they were the premier sponsor.
Yep.
And so you would think they would pay less to be maybe a kind of fifth partner, and they're still all over certain cars like Ty Gibbs and Riley Herbst, and they still have a deal with Kurt Busch, who works for 2311 still.
Yeah.
So
does Coca-Cola, like, do they veto that in some way? Like, do they have their own energy drink thing going on? Like, are they affiliated with Monster at all? Or
not really. It's not a big enough thing to care about. So unless they were to really be like, we're putting boatloads of money Pepsi. That's when it would get, come on now, don't bring in the arch rival.
Right.
Even though, fun fact, I believe Dr. Pepper has now passed Pepsi as the number two soft beverage brand currently here in the good old US of A.
Matt says Monster's owned by Coca-Cola.
Yeah. All right. Makes sense to me.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Just spitballing.
We'll wait and see.
And then finally, Denny Hamlin painted a bleak outlook on the charter negotiations. I don't know if you've seen these new quotes. He does not paint it in the light of it's going well at all. No. He says it takes. I like a nice Diet Coke. I like it in the can, though. I don't want it in a glass. I don't want it in a styrofoam cup. I like a nice Diet Coke cold can, and I'm set.
Logan likes to take it in the can. You heard it here first, folks.
Damn sure do. But Denny Hamlin paints a bleak outlook. He says it takes $18 million to just fill these cars, and that's all we're asking for. It's buku. And it is buku, bro. And, you know, this is just Denny Hamlin's side of the story. I'd love to hear NASCAR's as well.
Yep.
I'd love to hear NASCAR's. They haven't done a great job, in my estimation, of getting their side of the story out. They've let Denny Hamlin and others, but especially Hamlin, set the narrative.
Yep.
To me, he paints a very bleak outlook on on the future of the charter negotiations. I wonder if it's going to get done at all. I think a charter negotiation agreement does need to get done, but here's the issue. Here's the issue, folks. Here's where I'm going to spit it straight to you like nobody else, and this is an uncomfortable truth, right?
Okay.
Uncomfortable. As great as these drivers are, as great as these teams are, and yes, they make this sport go around as far as what entertains us, as a business, they mean very little. Because when you're looking for TV partners, they're not looking, well, Chase Elliott. No, we've talked greatly about the lack of marketability of today's NASCAR drivers. No one has ever been bigger than the sport, but no one is marketed like they're bigger than the sport nowadays. Chase Elliott might be the only exception, but that's only in NASCAR circles. He's not on Saturday Night Live. He's not doing commercials. NASCAR commercials have completely died almost. So I have bad news for you, ladies and gentlemen. The sport could go on without these current teams. Would they take a hit? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But any talk of kind of succession, start your own league, the juice ain't worth the squeeze for either side. They both need each other. NASCAR has, whether they meant to or not, or this is just ignorance that they fell into, they have marketed drivers in such a mediocre fashion in recent years that for the most part, unless you get Chase Elliott or Kyle Larson on board, and frankly, Denny Hamlin with his podcast and all those things, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to care. And even then, it's not going to be the same swath that would, or else SRX races when Chase Elliott was in would get comparable NASCAR numbers. It doesn't happen.
Yep.
Because the brand NASCAR is huge as far as motorsports goes. Now, it's not compared to the big four of sports, and I get that. They need each other. They need to get a deal done. This is bad for the sport. They both need each other equally. And because you could say, well, they can just go start their own league and see how far that'll get you. Because media negotiators don't give a crap about, I have so-and-so, Denny Hamlin's on board. Oh, is it NASCAR? No.
Yeah.
The brand has become Americana, has become household, right? So they need a deal done. I don't know if a deal gets done, though. I have no idea. It looks bad, doesn't it?
It does. I don't know. I mean, I can. You never can trust, like, when you can only hear from one side. And yeah. It's not that I think Denny's lying. I just think, what sort of negotiation tactic is this that he's putting this out in the media too, right? So maybe they want something else, and it's, you know, I don't know exactly what it is, but I think we just have to wait and see. But yeah, if they don't get it done soon, it's not a good look. And the more kind of insults that get thrown back and forth, I don't know if I would call it an insult, but the more kind of bad news that gets thrown around, I think just the worse it is for the sport in general. So just get it done, figure it out.
Yeah, a deal's got to get done. We got 7 months to the 2025 season. A deal has got to get done. Yeah. All right. Freddie says Corey Heim wins the truck race. Cole Custer wins Xfinity. And for Cup, he's going Ryan Preece on the upset. Whew. Tell you what, if that happens, I'm wanting you to help me put the lottery, my friend.
My goodness.
I'm telling you. All right. So yeah. We got it. We're getting close to home. So that means it's time for our weekend preview.
Is that the French pronunciation? Just like beaucoup? The preview?
Yes. Yeah, you ought to hear how some people say July.
I have heard it, yes.
So all three series are in action. Trucks are at Lucas Oil, Cup and Xfinity at the infamous Indy Oval, where arguably there's no more bigger and more historic track than the, you know, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Oval. Pretty incredible.
We're bringing back the crown jewel, right, Logan?
In my world, it is a crown jewel, and I would still say it is. Yeah, especially on the Oval. Why wouldn't it be? It was before.
Yeah.
All the change was 4 years.
That's great. Yep.
Matt Moore says, I think Denny Hamlin was just throwing out transparent in regards to numbers and negotiations because we've been hearing no news on the NASCAR side. True, but again, is it transparency or is it setting the narrative he wants? It could be either, but never underestimate. Never let a good crisis go to waste is the old saying. So,
right.
So if NASCAR is not willing to go play kind of media game, not send France or Ben Kennedy to go play the game, then Denny Hamlin can fill the bubble. He can fill the air with what he perceives as true.
The thing is, the way Denny Hamlin presents it, it's like a no-brainer. Oh, okay, that's all they want. Why doesn't NASCAR sign off on that? There's got to be more to the story. And there's no reason that NASCAR would see something like that and just say, no, we refuse. Like, I think maybe the drivers are asking for something more that Denny hasn't mentioned yet, that NASCAR says, yeah, we can't do that part of it, you know? And so I don't know. It's too early to know, unfortunately. Yeah. I don't know if we ever will know, really.
I just want to see a deal done because I don't like this talk of you might only see your favorite drivers on a part-time basis, because then you've got an absolute cluster of just – not fun. Let's just say that. Not fun. All right. So again, we've said all three series return. The NHRA returns after 3 weeks off. They'll be in Kent, Washington. So we'll see how they do. And of course, we're keeping an eye on that John Force Racing team about who does compete this weekend. I would, John Force is not going to, of course. He's been moved to a rehab center, and we are wishing him the best. But will Brittany Force, come to Washington? That's a great question. We shall see how it all shakes out. So we'll see there. Looking forward to that. IndyCar, the streets of Toronto after the doubleheader at Iowa, and F1 is in Hungary. That's the best I can pronounce it.
That sounds fine to me.
So that's the best I can do. Yeah. All right. So with that, Ryan, I told you to hang out. Hope you did. Yep. It's time for some refresh picks.
Not just refresh. It's racing refresh picks.
Sorry, I'm getting used to those refresh reports. Matt Moore says trucks, Lane Riggs, Xfinity, Justin Allgaier, and Cup. He thinks Kyle Busch is going to continue the streak and then sneak himself into the playoffs.
Wow.
Ross Chastain fans would be quaking.
That would be something.
As he sits on the bubble. On that
Kyle Busch is going to lead the race, and at the very end, he's going to go to lap Corey LaJoy, and then something bad's going to happen, and he won't.
Never say never, folks. That's all I know.
Anyways, we're running late here. We're going to whip through this here quickly. Racing refresh picks. Last week, why don't we bring in our producer, Peggy? Our last week's winner, producer Peggy, that is.
Oh, boy.
She didn't pick Blaney. She already has, but she picked Allmendinger, who came 16th, which really just is a testament to how bad our picks were, Logan. But so she moves on. We've got an updated score here as she we have that updated there. I can speak it out loud if you like. Peyton is back in the lead. She's got 52 points. Logan, you're just right behind her, 51. And then you got me behind with 48. So
all right.
It's a close race. We're still going. And I will remind you, I've noticed we've been taking some dogs lately. And by that, I mean some not so great picks. We're almost to the playoffs. And when the playoffs come, we're resetting the picks. So there'll be new picks. You could repick someone. There it is. Oh, well, look, and a beautiful order as well. Thank you, Peyton.
There we go. Yeah. All right. That's what we say.
Yeah. Dogs. So, Logan, you're up first. What are you picking this week?
I'm going to do it. Just for you, Ryan Hill. It's the Brickyard. It's the captain's track, right? Let's take Joey Logano to get it done in that Pennzoil 22 Ford. I don't know who's sponsoring this week. I forget, but
all right.
Certainly Pennzoil plays a heavy part every week.
Yes, they do. I'm up next. I'm going to go with Tyler Reddick. He's only had one race on the oval, but he did pretty well, and at least one cup race on the oval. So I'm going to take Tyler Reddick. Producer Peggy, you get to pick that.
Josh Berry.
All right.
Man, he's been a contender lately.
There you have it. Yep.
All right. So you have our race refresh picks, ladies and gentlemen. We shall see. Indeed, it's been a great episode, but every great episode must come to a close. And to do that, everybody will be ready. Time for closing time. All right, for any of you first-time watchers or ye 54-time watchers, closing time is where each of our member of the dais has the floor to say whatever they'd like for the most part, but it usually still pertains to motorsports or sometimes life. So, producer Peggy, I'm going to start with you this week. Final words.
I broke my foot. So I've been doing a whole lot of nothing, except watching old races and old NHRA races.
Nice.
And, I realized that I don't know a lot about this stuff. But I hope to learn someday.
Very good.
And I also hope I never find a tick on my head again.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You're going to have to get Logan Morris over there to do a little Brad Paisley impersonation.
Check him for ticks. That is fire. I like it. All right, Mr. Caredmine, final words.
Yeah, well, it's been a lovely week. I should mention, I don't know if you were going to mention this, Logan. I'm going to steal your thunder. We're going to be off for the next couple weeks. I was
waiting to be close.
I know, sir. Yeah, we're for the Olympic break. We're taking our own Olympic break. So we are off for the next few weeks. We'll be back in August. Look forward to seeing you all back then. But in the meantime, we're not going to be short on content on the website. Check out racingrefresh.com. You got my freshies coming out tomorrow. We've got power rankings later in the week. And then getting you ready for Indy, we will be having Stats Chat, Stats Saturday on Saturday as well. So check that out. And thanks, everyone. Good to see you.
Absolutely. To follow up on what Adam Carbine said, yes, we will take approximately the next 3 weeks off. We'll see what happens. If something does require a show, believe me, we will assemble like the Avengers, I promise. However, as Adam said, we will keep the content coming to the site. We will keep the YouTube videos coming with press releases and other in case you missed the news. Do want to send out a hearty, sincere thank you. The John Force video we did has really, frankly, stunned all of us with your views and your comments. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for your support and your kind words. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. We are very humbled by, I mean, just you clicking on that video for as many times as you have. What is it, like 35K now? What is it? I mean, it's pretty insane. And so we're just very humbled by that. Thank you so much for watching and supporting what we're doing. So we appreciate that love. Go to racingrefresh.com. Check out our merch section if you feel so inclined and you want my beautiful face on something. And you can get Peggy's beautiful face on a sticker. And if she sells 20 stickers, folks, 20 stickers, she'll put out the Producer Peggy t-shirt one more time.
Oh, boy. I didn't even get one. I need to get one of those. So,
a sticker or a shirt, or you want both?
I need both.
Well, you're the guy that owns everything, so yeah, go ahead.
There you go. It's true. Yeah.
They are in the vault and can be added back if needed. Thank you both for doing all you do for the website. Producer Peggy, you've been working your tail off while you've been down with your broken foot and the tear in your Achilles.
Really?
That's true too.
Producer Peggy, I'm just so sorry to hear this. I didn't know that you also tore your Achilles.
I did. In the same extremity.
Like, was this the same incident?
Yeah, except I don't know how I did it.
Okay.
But
well,
but thank you to Freddie, thank you to Matt, thank you to Ryan, and anybody else that tunes in each and every week here. We greatly appreciate you. And until August,
yeah,
we'll see you. We'll see you. We promise. We'll see you. I guarantee it. We'll see you at the next track.